and welcome back to the second hour of American Exposé. Probably one of the last places you're going to get the truth, listeners. As I see this going on, Vicky, with the protesters against George Bush in the free trade area of the Americas in Argentina, and they're protesting Bush. But isn't Bush representing the UN system in all this?
Oh, sure he is. Yeah, he's totally representing the UN system. He's right in there. He got us back into the to UNESCO. Not that we were ever left UNESCO, but I have a PDF that is a whole presentation on just, you know, how wonderful it is that George Bush got us back into the UN.
And so here we have these protesters, thousands of protesters marching against the visit of President Bush in the Mar del Plata in Argentina. So here we have thousands of people protesting George Bush, and it's just like Cindy Sheehan protesting George Bush in the Iraq War.
Yeah.
And yet it's the coalition.
Well, the thing is that the regular people, the common people like you and I and William and everybody else, we're being really hurt bad by globalization. The only people that are benefiting from globalization are the multinational corporations and these elite, they think they're elite, central planners. And so the people down there, they're just like we are. You know, they're getting hurt economically. They're struggling like we're struggling. And so that's why every place that Bush goes, people just hate that man at a visceral level.
And the point is, he's representing the UN system and the IMF and the World Bank.
Yeah. You know what? They always present this agreement with the FTAA as being a security agreement. But when you merge economies, it's like getting married. You know, everything is all tangled up, and only when it's countrywide, it's not going to be possible to get a divorce.
We're all single here, you know.
Well,
and you say it's like getting married.
I've had the experience, though.
Oh, haven't we all?
So, but anyway, I have something to tell you about that is pretty important. It's kind of a change of subject, if you don't mind.
I doubt it. Go ahead.
Okay. Today, the Idaho Eagle Forum released a couple of reports that were found, that we found on the Internet. And one of them is titled, Towards a Conceptual Model of Lifelong Education by George W. Parkin. This was written back in 1971. And it could have been written yesterday about our education system and its UNESCO's plan for education to harmonize education throughout the world, in all education systems throughout the world.
And this was in 1971?
1971.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the precise plan that they have been following from then until now.
Well, let's cover this on the other side. Another commercial pause, and vital stuff. Everything interconnects, though. See, it's all interrelated. The dumbing down process, the trade and aid, the AIDS, it all interconnects to totalitarian control of mankind, the human race, everywhere. We'll be back. Stay with us. And welcome back to the broadcast. As the riots are going on in the Summit City in Argentina, oh, how amazing is this? And Vicky, you have your dissertation. Please continue.
Okay. The other thing that, and both of these documents will be on my website, so anybody can go read them if they want to.
Channelingreality.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's channelingreality.com, listeners. It's on our website as a partner site. That's channelingreality.com.
Yeah, and you click on the icon that is the hammer and sickle, but I'm going to change that to make it easier for people to navigate.
Okay.
But anyway, the other document that we found is a contract between Microsoft and UNESCO. And what the agreement calls for, it's a partnership that says that Microsoft and the Bill Gates Foundation and UNESCO will be working together to build a network, and Microsoft will promote UNESCO's agenda, Agenda 21, and all the rest of this stuff through their software, through the content and the websites that they develop, and through the programs that their foundation supports.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a document showing that the high school redesign that's going on all around the country, that is Bill Gates's, you know, Bill Gates is supporting that, providing funding for it, and it's a UNESCO program. And we have the contract, and it has his signature on it and his initials on each and everything that Microsoft is doing to promote the UN agenda.
Okay, and where is this heading in the big picture of things, William?
Well, you know, we go back to look at the social sciences and the system that was established originally for the reorganization of society by August Comte, Henri Saint-Simon, and bring it forward from there, and go through the John Dewey's Father of Progressive Education process and Alan Bloom's taxonomy and those things, and bring it, you know, right straight up in today. But the power of combining these social sciences as a method by which we can develop these best practices. You cannot have open migration of peoples from one area and region and from one demographic group, so to speak, or environment to another, and then expect them to live harmoniously unless you blend all of these educational systems together, because you run into this real thorny thing about facts, that each of these people have customs and traditions, that their belief systems and their legal systems and their political organizations, their social traditions have been built upon over centuries and centuries, millennium, and we're going to try and run them all into Adidas tennis shoes and Calvin Klein jeans and jerseys, T-shirts with ball caps, and have them shop at Walmart and eat at McDonald's. And in order to make that happen, we've got to obfuscate history and erase their programming that was established. Really, one of the early sciences that I found goes back to the ICD right after World War One. I've got a booklet here I've just whipped out. It's called Fatherland. It was a study of authoritarianism in the German family that was done by Bertram Schaffner, M.D., for the Information Control Division. But in this little booklet, it talks out, I'm just going to give you a real brief one. This is just a paragraph. It says, we must know these factors before we can answer the next question. Where can we interrupt the circle of German education? At what stage in a young German's life should we intervene in order to exert the greatest influence in changing the course of character formation today? Shall we meet the citizen of tomorrow for the first time when he comes into school? Or into the kindergarten? Is that too late in life? Or should we meet his mother and father instead, while he is still an infant in arms? Or perhaps even before he was born? At what point can we make the most significant interruption of the psychological vicious circle, family, society, society, family?
You know what? That what you just read there is embedded within this document that I have towards a conceptual model of lifelong learning. They hit every single point. He picks up from John Dewey, and he goes forward, and it hits on the family and the harmonization of cultures and the system of vocational education and the school as the center of the community and going in the home and everything that you just said.
Well stated, both of you here. Go ahead, William.
Yeah, this particular process is something that we in the United States this is intellectual property. This is something that we have to be responsible for. We've introduced these concepts around the world through this United Nations beast, which we are harboring in New York City, right on the harbor. And so we have to step up to the accountability plate here and realize that we've unleashed on the world an absolute monster, and it's going to be up to us, not somebody else. It's going to be up to us to make a change here, and we need to get right with it, because the way the system is going right now, if you go in and disturb social groups, let's say, I have another quote that just floats in my mind, that when a social scientist is studying a target group, the social scientist is actually changing the group he's studying. If you do mental health screening and you ask certain questions to a child, it puts questions and doubts into their mind on certain aspects. And if you doubt their belief systems, if you raise up these elements, then they are going to start to fall away from the heritage that made them what they are. And I'm confident that in this use of Bill Gates' computer systems, in line with other research that I've done, parallel research, the use of computers as the replacement for textbooks is a very dangerous concept, because there's nothing sacrosanct about digital information. It's on today, and it can be gone tomorrow. And just a question mark, a comma, a semicolon, an inversion of a verb tense can completely change the meaning of sentences. And so rather than having textbooks that have been very carefully looked at, we can go into a system where our education is being run on software programming that can actually be altered to correspond with media as it's happening, a live and virtual educational system where the children are completely, completely mind-controlled throughout the entire year. So I'm all for books. I like books. And Bill Gates did something really wonderful. He created a way that we, the people, through the DOS operating system, can talk with electronics and that, and it's been very useful. But like any other tool, it can be used properly or it can be used improperly. And when they brought Bill Gates down, I just knew that we were going to start hearing a lot. They basically put him in a position of compromise, so he had to compromise his place. He had to go into relationship, leave his positions, and he's basically now, I believe, a high priest in the Comtean New World Order system.
And there you have it. We have a couple of phone calls. Let's see what Paul has to say. And welcome to the broadcast, Paul.
Yeah, hi. I'm still in the dark down here in Fort Lauderdale.
I'm getting a lot of newspapers sent to me from Florida. We're not getting the truth about what's happening in Florida, are we, Paul?
Well, it's slowly getting back on its feet. Of course, you know, you hear some tragedies, you know, on the local news, like, you know, people all of a sudden having a tree come down in their house and being homeless and things like that. But, you know, it seems to be getting done slowly but surely. The damage to the infrastructure or the electrical grid down here has been enormous.
There it is.
And I'm still in the dial. Everybody else in the street is out, but the transformer in front of our house is blown out, so three houses are still out of power, one of which is mine. But the reason I called was that when I hear about this business going on down in Argentina, I try to draw parallels in history to try to understand. And what this does is this brings me back to Germany in the 20s, when you had the communists rioting in the one hand, who were financed by the bankers. And then you had the industrialists and the bankers in Germany on the other hand. And these people with all the money had a choice. They could either relent to the communists and end up with nothing, or they could go with the neo-fascist Nazi party and say, they'll have a hand in running our companies, but at least we'll still have a company. And that's what it seems to be coming down here. These street riots bring me right back to the riots they used to have in Munich and all over Germany back in the 1920s. I don't know if this is a legitimate parallel, but it could, and, of course, you know, the bankers are behind it. They're probably financing both ends of it, like they have, you know, pretty much all through, you know, the 20th and 19th centuries. But it's going to be interesting to see where this pans out. I don't have any cable or TV or anything, so I'm just getting my news off of the shortwave BBC and from what you tell me. But, you know, that's the parallel I'm drawing. I might be all wet with this, but I just thought I'd, you know, throw it out for discussion in case anybody wants to pick it up.
Well, what I see is that there are three mechanisms of control that they're using against us, and that's money.
Yep.
And the deception, the public-private partnership deception, and Comte's logical positivism.
Yeah.
And the other one is computer technology.
Okay, a reference to that, I have something very important to tell you, but I can't tell you over the air. Is there a phone number where I can reach you, ma'am?
You can connect to Vicki off the air. They have the phone number, and they can give it to you.
Okay, you want me to turn me over to your producer and give you the number? Yes, please.
Okay,
thank
very
you.
Good. Thank you, Paul. And we go to commercial pause, and we'll take Trish on the other side. We're with Vicki Davis and William Roberts today, and we're connecting dots to the big picture in place, the UN system, engineered by the State Department, the U.S. mission to the United Nations. Stay with us. We'll be back. Welcome back to the broadcast. Before we bring Trish up, William, at the conclusion of the first hour, you were talking about, I believe it was a selected smart growth catalog.
Yes, there's a very easy way to get a hold of it. You can either go on the internet to epa.gov and check around in there for the smart growth, selected smart growth publications. The number for the one that I have, which was published in 2001, they probably have a new one. The number is, the publication number is 231R0-2001. But any future catalog would be preferable as you get into the modern stuff. But this particular catalog will get you right straight into the technology. They also have glossaries of terms that are used by the urban planners. And you can call 1-800-490-9198. That's 490-9198, and ask them to send you their current catalog for the Smart Growth publications, because this will give you the actual documents that you can look at, that you can use, that you can take around, throw it out on the hood of the car, share it with your neighbor, take it to your meetings, take it with you to church or wherever you get together, and show this to people so that they understand that you're not some alien that just dropped off a tree someplace, that you're actually very concerned about very serious issues, and that people far smarter and far deeper funded are behind this madness, and that it's an international, not a global, this isn't a local problem, this is an international drive for a one-world centralized form of government from which there will be no redress of grievance.
There you go. And let's say hello to Trish. How are you today, Trish? Hi, Trish.
Hi, I'm doing real good. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. I had two questions, one of which is, Vicki, you made a statement about the Vermonters who want to secede being an NGO. Where can we find that information? Where's the proof on that?
Well, there are, as with everything else with the UN, it's very difficult to find proof because everything...
But can you find it?
Can I find it?
I mean, can it be found?
Probably not, but let me tell you why I said that. Because it's coincidental to the same time that all of this UN stuff is going on in our country, and it fits. It fits with the plan of regionalization.
It does, but we need to prove it.
Well, you can try. But it's impossible. That's the whole problem with this public-private partnership thing, because with the government you can file a Freedom of Information Act request for information. With a private partner, you can't do a thing. There's not a thing you can do. All you can do is go by the preponderance of the evidence. You know, what's the big game plan? how does what they're doing fit into that game plan? Does it fit? Is it a piece of the puzzle? And I believe it is.
Right. Okay. Another question I wanted to ask you, I wanted to ask Will. I think we need to clarify when you say Soviet councils. I don't know about you, but I don't like being compared to a Soviet.
That's right, and I don't like it either, and I don't like to see it in our country. But if you can go into, like, Britannica or into one of the Webster files or your dictionary files and pull up what a Soviet is, and look in, I like to go to, once I go to a dictionary, then go to the encyclopedias and look up at the idea of the Soviet Council. When you have a local board like this that is generally non-elected, then what you're dealing with are commissars or the babushkas or the people right in your community who can be conscripted through appointments by elected officials to head these boards. Right here in next door neighbor county to me, we have an emerging E911 system, and for the first 2 years, for the establishment, implementation, and infrastructure period, all of these people are unelected, just handpicks from the community. Now, it only takes one person, or maybe two, on an unelected board like that to be a ringer in order to shift this stuff to go right along the line. Now, one of the questions that I have on this E91 board in particular is that so far, neither the Senate, the U.S., neither the House of Representatives here in Missouri, or anyone else, and I have made a thorough three-year investigation into this, no one has been able to provide me with the law that requires these people to go through with the GIS mapping and that aspect of the E911 system. They just will not address it. They don't have any laws to back it up, but it always comes in. It's one of the features. And so the Soviet Council kind of concept is a terminology that I got working with Michael Shaw at Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. And I think that if you were to go and look on their website, too, you could get additional information. But I concur with Michael. I think it's a very good analysis and a good way of looking at it. That this is not the old style of America. When I was growing up, we did things according to parliamentary procedure. We used Robert's Rules of Order whenever we met in a deliberative assembly, called the meeting to order, had an agenda. We made motions, we made amendments, and we voted on things. That's not the way it works in a facilitated meeting.
We'll continue on the other side, Trish, if you'd like to stay with us. We'll continue on the other side. And vital information today. Every day is a vital information day on American Exposé. As we connect dots, they're very, very vital. And confusion is the name of the game in many respects. We'll be back. Stay with us. Welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. Trish is with us.
Yeah, Chris, let me tell Trish something.
Go ahead, Vicki.
It's important. Several years ago, there was a group called the Free State Project.
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
Okay. Well, their concept, if you remember, their concept was that they had all of their members vote which state they wanted to go to.
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
But other people aren't familiar with it.
Right.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah, so the concept was that all of these people would vote on the state that they would move to,
right?
And that they would use their power, their numbers, to break down the laws of the regulations, as they put it, of that state. Okay, when I first heard about those people, I didn't like the idea of that. I even sent them an email and I told them, stay the hell out of Idaho, because we don't like outsiders coming in and, you know, mucking around with our way of life. But anyway, that was New Hampshire. They chose New Hampshire. Now, when I heard this guy in Vermont, and Vermont now wants to secede, okay, we've got two states there. We know we have a private group, a privately funded group, that moved to New Hampshire to basically free the state of New Hampshire from regulation and whatever. And then now we have this group in Vermont that wants to secede from the union. That's too coincidental. I mean, you could say it's a coincidence, but I don't believe in coincidences anymore.
Can I chime in here someplace?
Go right ahead, William.
Yeah.
On this particular subject, Trish,
yeah.
Because you brought up a really good point, and it's one that I've mulled around in my head, too. I also heard the, I believe it was on, well, I won't mention the name of the broadcast, but I heard their appeals for this free state project, and I had a reaction much the same way that Vicky had. What this basically does, when the Berlin Wall, which we built, was taken down, which it wasn't, and the Soviet Union collapsed, they broke up into all of the independent states again. And the concept that I've been seeing coming along here through the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, is basically the discrediting of our country through the besmirching of our federal system for the purpose, I believe, of bringing low or bringing down or abolishing the United States of America and splitting it up into so many nation states as part of this one world agenda. And so when I look at these people's ideas, initially you could say, oh, that's a very lofty and grand thing. They would all come together and they'd live in harmony in a community. But communitarianism and socialism and communism by any name never works. It all has to be based upon the private ownership of production. And the concept of individual solutions to global problems is, to me, an anathema, because this is not just so many libertarians or whatever wanting to have a free state. What we have is a globalist cabal, the neocons, the Straussian philosopher kings, who are now in the last phases, as Rockefeller said, after 500 years, they're finally in the position where they can a true new world can emerge. They're in position, and we around the planet, whether you're from England or for Germany or France or any place, Denmark, South America, Venezuela, Argentina, we need to say no to this program, because this once this happens and all of the national boundaries go down, there will be no redress of grievance. There will be no way of coming to a better form of government. It's not going to be an elected government. It's going to be an appointed dictator supported by super social scientists, and they will dictate the world just the way the UN and all of their smart growth programs and all of their global agendas are coming down to us now. So, you know, I agree, Trish. We've got to back up our stuff with facts. And my opinions are my opinions. Opinions are easily bent. They're like an elbow. But sometimes our opinions and our ideas lead us into discovery, and we must have the discovery process as well. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, see, I don't trust the Free States Project and all that stuff. I don't trust them either because, you know, I see a lot of problems with them as far as them failing. I mean, because, you know,
well,
like
for the listener, for the listeners, what is the Free States Project?
It's where you... They decided to go to one state and change the voting record, you know, vote different things, you know, get all one group of one type of voting, it seems to me like.
Well, no, it was everything. It was break down all regulations. Free state. Free the people. But let me tell you one other thing that I noticed in my own state. We have a buyer's council. I don't know what they do. They used to do these Buy Idaho commercials, you know, telling people to buy in the state of Idaho. All of a sudden, they started doing these commercials, making the people of Wisconsin look like buffoons. They were making fun of the people in Wisconsin, just like we used to do, you know, with people in the Soviet Union. And I took great offense to those commercials, because what is the point of creating animosity between American citizens? I mean, we're all one big country, aren't we? Aren't we all together? And but it all fits. It all fits with breaking apart our country into regions. And now, why would they want to do that? Because a small region has no power. As a country, We are a very powerful country, assuming we can get control back of it. But as a small region of about three or four states, we have no power, absolutely none. And that's why they want to do it.
And regionalism has been in place since 1972.
Yeah.
And,
well,
and that had to be done before you could implement Agenda 21.
And that's the most important thing to understand about the new federalism that Bill Clinton signed into law in 1997, I think 97. But it calls for the public-private partnerships. And exactly like William was talking about, that is the Soviet form of government, and it is also the way that the UN operates. They have a decision council of the social engine, the intellectually elite. They make the decisions, they pass it down to the social engineers who craft the message, and then it filters down to the local board, council, or commission, and they implement it through the public-private partnership. The public part of it is the mandate for it. The private part of it is the implementation of the agenda. But the thing is that you don't know that it's coming from UNESCO or the UN. You think it's somebody who just lives in your local community.
Yeah, they try to make you think everything's local.
Yeah, exactly. But it isn't.
I know.
It's coming straight down from the UN.
William?
Well, I agree, Vicki. Very well stated, very, very concise, and step by step, just the way it needs to go down. I wish I had that in my mind as well as you have. And this concept, you remember, we're united we stand and divided we fall. We need to stand together. Even the Bible talks about it, you know, a house divided against itself will surely fall. The idea is always to divide and conquer. If you can make the blacks and the whites have strife, if you can cause trouble between the man and his wife, if you can destroy the family, if you can destroy the community, then you can come and step in and as the savior and propose your ideas. And so we stand united. And I don't agree with the motives behind it, this libertarian idea that, you know, they want to be able to have a community or a state where you can smoke pot and have any kind of sexual encounter you want in your bedroom and it's okay, dokey. That's fine, but let's keep that out of politics and let's keep that out of the United States. If somebody wants to live that way and they can do it and skate around the legal system, well, then they're just on their own set of roller skates. But please don't include me on your skateboard, because I'm interested in getting this country back together on the right track, curing this disease, stopping this global agenda. It is absolutely destructive to the entire planet and all of humanity. Every human being on this planet will be affected by this, as will be the weather, as will be the environment and all the other things. This is a very, very negative agenda, and
well,
we can stop it, and we must.
That's where the social engineers come in. They will craft whatever message will work in a community. If the message everybody smokes pot works in a particular community, then that's the message that they will use to sell the agenda in that community. If the message is home, family, and, you know, prayer in schools, if that's the message that will work in a community, then that's the way that the social engineers craft the message
for
that community.
Now, isn't that exactly what's going on in Argentina right now? Blaming George Bush for the free trade area of the Americas?
It's what they do everywhere. You know, you can take any UN program, whether it's high school design or parents as teachers, whole child initiative, safe schools, safe drug-free schools, any one of those initiatives, and you will find it in every country in the world. It's because it's coming from the UN.
Well,
it's
here
coming
we
from the top down. There is no such thing as...
No, my point is here, is you've got thousands upon thousands of people in Argentina blaming George Bush for this free trade area of the Americas, which George Bush is just representing the UN system, but the people of Argentina don't know this.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm sure, because their newspapers probably don't inform them.
No.
Just like ours don't.
Correct. Trish, do you have a parting shot? We have other callers.
No, that was it. That was all I had. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm. Let's go to John. John, welcome to the show, John.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
I'm down at Fort Lauderdale here, and we actually just got our fire back a couple of days ago, so looking better. But a lot of the things you guys are talking about, I've seen firsthand. And actually, this last weekend, or last week, we were up in Georgia looking around for properties, and we found some people we met in the park, and I kind of started talking about the whole political, you know, what's going on and stuff. And believe it or not, these people that live in the middle of nowhere, one of the things that came out of their mouth was the New World Order and how Walmart and all the different, you know, chain restaurants have come into their town, totally decimated all the small businesses. And if you go to a Walmart, for example, on a Sunday night, they say that all of the illegal Mexicans will be there on a Sunday night with all of the cash in hand that they've made that week, will spend all of it. And they're basically brought there on buses by the different farmers and people that employ them. And they live in the back of tractor trailers. That's it, just a tractor trailer on a piece of land.
Wow.
And they're telling me that their jobs are basically have gone from $12, $15 an hour down to $6 and $7 an hour, to the point where they're all selling properties and living in single-wide mobile homes and trailer parks and stuff just to squeak by. And, I mean, they're more in tune than the people in the cities because it's happening directly to them. They're like the experiment. Everything's happening in these small towns, and these people are, you know, watching their everything, you know, evaporate right before their very eyes. And I just, you know, I was in shock when I, you know, heard these stories.
Yeah. Well, that's all part of herding people into human settlements.
I mean,
the cities are already developed, and that's where they would like to push, pack more people in, you know, so that they can rewild all of all the rural areas of our country.
They are, and what, you know what, excuse me, but what's happening out up in the northern Florida, southern Georgia area is that the developers are going in and picking up all these small farms from people that are land rich but have nothing in the bank. These people are now moving to the city. They're broke in 2 years, and they have nothing to move back to. They're stuck in the city, and these developers are sitting on the property waiting for the property values to go up or down, or do they have enough property that, you know, touches each other so they can put 20 homes or small little communities on there, and all of a sudden you're just going to see, just like you do around Fort Lauderdale, you have these monster communities. All the houses look the same. If there weren't street names, you'd get lost. I mean, it's crazy.
John, I appreciate your comment. Very well spoken.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, my friend. Julius in Arizona, welcome.
Hi, Chris. Appreciate your show as always.
Thank you.
You really need to do justice to something like the Free State concept. You need to talk to some of the leaders of the Free State Project. They are nobody's fool, and they are certainly against this encroaching federal government. They're certainly against any concept like expanded UN powers or the New World Order. The reason the Free State Project came into being is the fact that people have run their head against the wall for the last 25, 30 years trying to form an alternative party and get things done through peaceful electoral methods throughout the country. But Congress passed election reform legislation starting right after Watergate, which basically, if you look at the fine print, made it impossible for a third party to come into being and guaranteed the existence of the Republicans and the Democrats in perpetuity.
Yeah, well, you're right.
And so the reason the Free State Project has come about is we know that local control exists with the county sheriff. We know it exists within the little townships and within the counties. And so we decided we're going to move to one place. We're going to take it over one township at a time and keep encouraging more people, and we're going to turn someplace like Wyoming or New Hampshire, hopefully both, into a couple of independent Switzerlands that actually have law, rule of law, and actually have some form of an agreed-upon constitution.
Do you have a guest in mind? Listen,
okay.
Julius, do you have a guest in mind for this Free State Project?
I sure do, and I'll be happy to email you, Chris.
Okay, please do.
Okay, now let me tell you something about this.
Let me
say something. First of all, not everybody that is involved in a group is in an insider to the plan. Okay. Secondly, something you should know about the Free State Project is that the idea came from a college student, and it was his college thesis. And he got